Hey, it's Steve Rohan. We here at Bob FM are really happy to welcome in Hall & Oates along with special guest Train coming up June 9th at PPG Paints Arena. Recently had a chance to catch up with John Oates, and here's what he had to say. Happy to have one half of the most successful duo in the rock era. John Oates, of course, of Daryl Hall and John Oates. You guys over the years have had 34 chart hits, 6 number ones, and have been together for over 50 plus years. And you haven't killed each other. So, John, what do you attribute that to?
We lead separate lives. We're two individuals who, you know, do a lot of things differently, but when it comes to music, we got a lot in common. And when we get together, man, it's like time stopped. It's like having a brother, you know, who lives in a different part of the country. You know, you don't have to get together all the time, but when you do, you got all this shared experience behind you, you know, years and years and years. And that's really what it's like.
And it seems to me that you give each other space to pursue your own projects. Daryl with Live at Daryl's House, and you had a busy past 6 to 9 months.
Oh, yeah.
You have released your album Arkansas earlier this year, and right here in Pittsburgh, you basically kicked off our concert year here in 2018. You played Club Cafe back on January 15th. And what I like about this album, it's a mix of roots, it's blues. First solo album of yours was back in 2002, Funk Shui, which you personally gave a copy to me. Now, I know you've done, you know, a bazillion interviews and appearances since, but I will always remember that.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Well, I was just getting started back then, you know, trying to figure out who I could be as a solo artist, you know, having never done it before. But things have changed, you know, moving to Nashville over the past decade and making some friends in the world of Americana and roots music and really finding my place there. And I think I found the sweet spot on this Arkansas album. It really it feels really comfortable. It's the stuff that a lot of the stuff that I was doing as a little kid. And so it's like going back to go forward, you know, so I'm really, really proud of it.
You just recently did a show in support of that album in New York City. And lo and behold, who was in the audience? Robert Plant.
Yeah, you know, that was a total surprise. I've known him for a while. You know, we're not best friends. But, you know, all of a sudden, right before we went on, my manager came back and said, hey, man, Robert Plant just showed up. And he showed up unannounced, just came and sat in the audience. Man, what a cool thing to do. I mean, that guy is amazing. And he loves music, and it shows. And since then, we've been talking about getting together, maybe doing some shows together, maybe in Europe or the UK. So really very flattering that he would show up for our show.
You have to put me on the guest list for that one, okay?
You got it.
I mean, if you do something like that. Hey, back in 2015, there was a very good documentary that aired on MTV Live, starring you, called Another Good Road.
Right.
Learned a lot about you, and you got to play you and your guitar. It was really kind of cool as a fan of yours.
Oh, thank you. You know, that was something I did. I had done an album called Good Road to Follow, and I just felt I didn't really tour with that album, so I just thought I'd maybe if I did a video, you know, like a long form concert video, that, you know, that music could get out there. So that's what I did. I put it together with a lot of the folks who played on the record, and we went in and did it. It was a lot of fun to do that, and yeah, it was a great way of getting the music out.
You also have a new book out called A Change of Seasons, a memoir.
This is true. I got a lot going on here. Sometimes I wonder how I'm juggling all these, keeping all these balls in the air. But it came out about a year ago, and the paperback version of Change of Season will come out in May. And it's got some added content that we added on to the end of the book. So it was a great thing to do, something that I, you know, had never done before, and took 2 years to write, and it was an interesting thing to kind of dig into something like that.
Now, you pretty much have seen the rock and soul era grow from its infancy to today, the beginnings, the changes, the highs, the lows. Any particular era that you love?
Well, you know, I think, you know, man, I liked so much. One thing I'll say is I think I was born at the exact right time. I was born in the late 1940s. You know, I heard music before rock and roll. I was, you know, even though I was a little kid, I realized there was big band music and all this music. And when rock and roll hit, man, it was like big, because I realized it was a complete new change of direction. And, you know, I was there from the beginning of it, being a young musician. So I, you know, I heard Chuck Berry and, you know, all the early Little Richard, all the early rockers. And I, you know, that period of time is very important to me, because you always remember the stuff that you heard and that affected you as a little kid. So I would go back to that era, and then I'd go back to the 60s when the folk revival and the blues roots music revival started happening in America, and a lot of these traditional performers were rediscovered. And that was made a big effect on me and really led me to making this Arkansas album.
You have acquired a lot of accolades over the years. Inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2003, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2014, although everybody thought you were already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
Billboard magazine lists you at number 15 of the greatest artists of all time. What are you most proud of?
I guess I'm most proud that we're not 20.
Go back and do it all over again, right?
No. You know, I'm just proud of the fact that Daryl and I created this incredible body of work over the years, and that people still seem to care about this music. They want to hear these Hall & Oates hits, and we play them, and we got a great band. And even more proud of the fact that our fans have been open-minded enough to let me do something completely different and yet still accept it. And that's really unusual in this world, where everybody likes to be, you know, the world kind of likes to pigeonhole you and put you in a box. But the fact that I can do something as completely different as Arkansas and this roots music, yet go back on stage at the PPG Arena and play the big Hall & Oates hits, I think it's the best of all worlds. And that's probably what I'm most proud of.
What was behind that decision to hit the road for arena tours once again? You guys were doing, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 seat venues, and then last year with Tears for Fears, and this year coming back June 9th, PPG Paints Arena with a Pennsylvania product, Pat Monahan from Train, from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
What was behind that decision to hit those?
Well, it happened naturally. There was the demand was there. We kept playing, you know, we played small venues, then medium venues, and then the venues got bigger, the audience got bigger. And, you know, about two and a half years ago, we sold out Madison Square Garden, which we hadn't done since the 80s. And the kind of the writing was on the wall. It was like a kind of flag went up and said, hey, you guys are back in the arenas. And we've been selling out shows ever since. So I think what happened was a younger generation really started to jump on the bandwagon, and no pun intended, and they started showing up and filling arenas.
Bands like Ice House, the Parachute Club, the Killers are among those that list you as major influences. So that's kind of cool, too, that the younger generation, as you mentioned, are getting into what you guys did in the past. Got to mention one thing about the 80s, okay? You guys were there pretty much for the start of the video era. Impact on music, good or bad, what do you think?
Well, I think it was good, because it was a way to promote music and make music even bigger in the 80s by the fact that people all around the world could see you, as opposed to just listen to your records. And that's a revolutionary concept. I mean, you know, prior to that, you're talking about, you know, the recorded music started back in the, you know, late teens, in the early 1920s. So after, 75, 80 years, all of a sudden you could see the artist as well. And that was a major change. It wasn't, you know, necessarily something that me and Daryl wanted to do, but it was a great way to promote the music.
Well, speaking of that 80s video era, I work with three ladies, and I got to ask you this, okay? Three ladies, Vicky, Mel, and Laura, your hair, those natural curls. They're jealous as hell, John. How do you do it, man?
Hey, man, just you know what? My mother's Italian. I got the Italian side, and when it comes to the hair genes, I still got it.
Yes, you do.
I still got hair. Not quite as curly as it used to be, and a little bit more gray for sure. But, hey, you know, it's just one of those things. I got lucky on that side of things.
Guilty pleasure song. I work with a jock, okay, that loves Safety Dance by Men Without Hats. God knows why, okay? I'm going to tell you mine. Mine is Kiss on My List, okay?
All right.
Every time that song comes on, I got to crank up the volume a little bit and start singing very badly, because your kiss is on my list. I see. I will never make Hall & Oates as a backup singer.
That's
Do you have one of those songs that you just love to hear over and over? It doesn't matter how old it is or anything. Do you have a guilty pleasure
song? I've got a bunch of them. I really do. You know, I just finished reading a biography of the group, the band,
mm-hmm.
and I was a huge fan of those guys back in, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And after reading the book, I went back and revisited all the early albums, Big Pink and the band and Cahoots and all those ones. And man, I just realized how great of a group they were. I mean, I always knew it, but when time, you know, after time goes by for a while, you go back and listen to some of that music and you realize what they were doing was really unusual and cool. So I'd have to say, listening to like The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down,
right.
or Life is a Carnival, or, you know, The Wait. I mean, these are great, great songs.
Anytime they come on, you crank it up. We're talking, of course, with John Oates, one half of Daryl Hall and John Oates. The album Arkansas is available now. New book, Change of Seasons, a memoir, will be coming out in paperback in May with additional material. And, of course, on June 9th, you'll be back. Daryl Hall, John Oates, along with special guest Pat Monahan and Train at PPG Paints Arena. Hey, I want to thank you for being one of the nicest guys I've had the pleasure over the years to sit down and talk to from time to time. Every award and everything that comes your way is well-deserved, but you are one of the nice human beings on this planet, and on our end, we truly appreciate that.
It's nice of you to say. I appreciate it, and I always appreciate the support, man.
Thanks for spending a few minutes right here with us on 96.9 Bob FM.